I was in prison, and you came to visit me. With these words, Christ challenges each of us to spend time serving those who, because of circumstance or bad choices, can't serve themselves. Welcome to Someone Cares, a faith ministry dedicated to helping us all answer that challenge. For many years, this outreach program has carried healing doses of hope and Christian love behind prison walls and touched the lives of those in desperate need of both. I'm your Someone Cares radio host, Charles Mills. Working with those behind bars is tough. Being one of those behind bars isn't exactly a walk in the park either. Today on our program, we're going to hear from the other side of the Someone Cares prison ministry as we speak with a couple of ex-inmates. Their insights will give us some good ideas of what it's like shut away from society. Our first guest is Al Dawson. Al, how did you end up on the wrong side of the law?
Well, the Bible says that idle mind is the devil's workshop.
Oh, boy.
And I had just become pretty idle after high school and had fallen into depression and started reaching in areas that I wasn't familiar with.
Yes.
And so just started moving on the dark side of life. There's been a change in how things have been ran in the institutions since 83. I was working in a bakery at San Quentin, and an officer who I had befriended had pulled me to the side, and he says, listen, I want to explain something to you. We just had a meeting here at the institution, and we were told that we are no longer here to rehabilitate.
Ooh.
In fact, to have you come back is an economic need. And in other words, the more you guys come back, and the more we can do to encourage your coming back and discourage a rehabilitation, the longer our jobs will be intact.
Ooh. So what I hear you saying then, Al, is that there really is no motivation behind bars to be anywhere but behind bars. Am I right?
That's correct. And it still is an economic need for the state to have men incarcerated in prison.
So here you were in an institution that was really not supportive of you doing anything but staying in the institution, and along comes Someone Cares. Tell us about your relationship with Someone Cares. What did it mean to you, and how did it change your perspective of where you are and what the future could be?
Well, when I entered into San Quentin, after being there for some time and thinking about my situation and the road I had traveled, I was determined somehow, some way, to get rehabilitated. And so I started regurgitating the system by telling guys, you know, that I was around, hey, man, if you don't have anything positive to speak on, you know, please continue to just move down the ramp because you're wasting my time. And I plan to thrive in a very positive way once I am released from this institution.
So we're talking self-rehabilitation here, self-rehabilitation.
That's true.
My, my.
And then in 1985, when I met Don at San Quentin, he was a chaplain, and I connected with him. And as he prayed with me and as he showed love and genuine caring concern, I realized that my only hope was in the strength that I could receive from the Heavenly Father to actually purge my character and regain life as a human being thriving to do positive things. God is the only source for rehabilitation. And the closer that I gain relationships with him through people that also cared and that were also Christians, the stronger I became. And I realized that was the only way that I could continue to grow and to be positive once again.
Right.
The Holy Spirit would not allow me to sleep past 4 in the morning. And I would get up in the quiet of the morning, and I would pray. And there was one particular officer that was an atheist, and he was not afraid to step forward and to boldly state the fact that he didn't believe in God. And this particular officer, as he approached my bunk, he looked down at me. And something stirred within inside his heart. And it drove him to go to the office and write a letter in my behalf to the institution about my conduct. And he told me all the things that you've heard about me and you've heard come out of my mouth about God. When I saw you on your knees, I felt the Holy Spirit. I was thoroughly touched and moved, knowing that no man would get out of his bed this time in the morning if his heart wasn't drawn to a higher power. So I'm moved to believe that maybe I was wrong about the things that I had been thinking and believing in my heart.
It is truly amazing to see that your self-rehabilitation program, which was, you know, started by you, enhanced by the Someone Cares prison ministry, and led by God, helped not only you, it helped those around you and even that prison guard. That is an amazing story. Thank you, Al Dawson, for sharing from your heart today. We appreciate your candor and insights. May God bless you here on the other side of the prison bars. Thank you.
Thank you, Conley.
Our next guest has taken his prison experience and turned it into a ministry of his own. Mike Coates knows prison life all too well. Mike, share some of your experience with us.
I've only been out of prison now about 6 months. I just did 15 years. The first couple of years were pretty rough. I kind of fell in with the whole racist crowd. And in 2004, I decided I just didn't like myself anymore. And I started seeking God again. And I just really let God use me. A lot of the guys I hung out with were like lifer type guys, more of a hardcore element. Yeah. You know, God used me the last 12 years of my bit, especially towards the end of it when I got down in the lower levels where there's a lot of the newer gang guys. Mm-hmm. And since I've been out, I've maintained contact with the lifers and, of course, Someone Cares prison ministry. And I'm kind of working in conjunction with them, just trying to see how God will use me out here.
Well, Mike, what do you see in Someone Cares prison ministry that you know is of great value to people behind bars? What is their secret?
The secret is just a letter, just words of hope from somebody outside. Guys in prison, you know, they get so stuck that they're alone, that there's nobody that cares about them, that they're just stuck. And actually having a handwritten letter, just talking about anything, the weather, just letting them know that somebody's there and they care, that makes a world of difference.
When someone writes a letter to an inmate, what should be that person, the writer's, expectations? What should be the driving motivation of the letter writer? And I'm talking about this because on this program, we're inviting people to write to inmates. What should be their motivation?
The first thing I'd say is show that you care. A lot of guys might say they're Christians or might be looking for a female pen pal. I'm talking from a male's perspective in prison.
Right.
You know, it takes a little while to break down those barriers. Something I've learned being out here writing guys in prison is pray before you write and really ask the Holy Spirit just to give you the words. You know, it could be anything about your children's school. It could be, it doesn't have to be all about God at first. You know, establish just a friendship first. When you actually pray for the inmate, you're actually giving God permission to work in that person's life. And the Holy Spirit will use your letters. Eventually, they'll tell you a problem that they're having, and, And as simple as asking them in a letter, you know, is it okay if I pray for you about that? And then you'd be amazed at the miracle-working power of God when you do something like that.
Amen to that. We're talking with Mike Coates. He is an ex-inmate. And now, Mike, you have a particular itch in your skin to help a certain group of people when it comes to those in prison. Tell us about your ministry.
When I went to prison, I was 41 years old. I'm 57 now. When I started this bit at 41 years old, I could not see daylight. 15 years down the road, I could not imagine myself being 56 years old, getting out of prison. And plus, you know, I'd lost my wife. I lost my son. I lost my home. I lost everything. I couldn't even stand to look in the mirror. The natural life guys are, they're not inmates. They live there. They're never going home. There's no chance. Michigan is a life means life state.
Yeah.
And that's the guys I hung out with. They were never going home. And even to this day, you know, I write probably 22 of them that are, you know, close friends. And I've even seen where God has been working in their lives. You know, they're in positive programs now. They write me and ask me to pray for things. And believe it or not, two of the guys are Muslims. Tell you the truth, they were actually kind of instrumental in leading me back to Jesus. The Muslim brothers, the black guys.
Yeah. Well, now, you have a specific desire to help people who are re-entering society. Is that right?
As we're speaking now, I'm at work. I'm in a re-entry program called Catalpa Street. It's based on a program in San Francisco called Delancey Street.
Mm-hmm.
We're bringing guys from prison, from jail, from the streets that have drug and alcohol problems. It's a two-year extended stay program. It's a great program. It's here in Fort Wayne. So that's actually where I work now. As a matter of fact, I just came on their payroll.
And what do you offer those who are coming out of prison?
We have three trades. We teach a horticulture program, a woodshop program, and we have a complete culinary arts program. And everything's at the beginning stages now. We have a giant facility that used to belong to the Department of Corrections here, but they lost funding for it, and a group of Christian businessmen obtained the building. The executive director's name is Linda Higai, H-I-G-I. She's one of the ones that's really got it off the ground. She's my immediate boss.
It sounds like that Someone Cares helps inmates in developing or redeveloping who they are. And then your program, once they come out, you help develop who they can be. Am I on the right track?
You're on the right track. Catalpa Street is just at the very beginning stages. Someone Cares established. They have a worldwide ministry. But, you know, we're starting to network now. So the people that are coming into the Fort Wayne area, you know, they have a contact here. Now, the parole department is aware of us. They've been out here, the probation department. So there's a lot of the logistics and legal matters to take into consideration, you know, supervised parole and people with electronic monitor bracelets and all that. There's a lot of things that I never had any idea about. But everything's working together for good.
All right. Very good. Mike Coates has been our guest today. He's talking about his ministry of helping people who used to be where he was, and now he's where he is, and they're coming out and joining the world outside those bars, and he wants to make sure that that transition goes smoothly and provides those people with something that they can look forward to and possibly a new trade that they can follow. That sounds really cool. Mike, thank you so much for sharing with us today.
Yeah, God bless you guys.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Al Dawson and Mike Coates, reminding you that no matter who you are, where you are, what you've done, someone cares. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for listening to Someone Cares. If you'd like to become part of this vital prison outreach ministry, visit someonecares.org and discover ways you can safely and effectively touch the lives of incarcerated men and women with God's love. Again, that web address is someonecares.org. This program was produced by Lifetalk Radio.